check it out now.
Live from the Sirius XM studios at the beautiful Wynn Las Vegas here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know why I'm pausing on all that. We are here to do the Megapod Wild Card Week in the National Football League. Pumped! The playoffs are finally here. And Todd will want to talk about our regular season records besides his. So we'll go through the final records. We don't necessarily, Will and I don't want to talk about this, but we will get the update. Todd did not win the championship. The guest chair did officially. But Todd won the division, apparently. That's what.
Listen, all I care, I don't even care to win the championship. All I wanted to beat was two young men, one named Gilly, one named Willie. And as long as I can beat those two young men, yeah. I'm happy. Even He's in happy. A sick, horrible state that I'm in, been sick since Sunday, I still inside, I'm cheering very, very loudly.
Great way to start with you being sick like that. Todd Wishnev, everybody, from his mom's cork attic. T. Wishnev. On Twitter, college basketballing. You finally hit that day where it didn't go so well, huh?
Yeah, we were up 129 bets or units based on one unit plays, and now we're only up 110. So the last 6 days have been kind of rough.
Kind of rough. Okay. Is this going to be your energy level for the whole podcast?
No, I'm doing the best I can, Gilly. You don't understand how sick I've been this week.
All right, so very little of you today, perhaps. Will Hill, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. Host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, not from his mom's cork attic. What's happening, Willie?
Best weekend of the year for football. Second best weekend of the year. We can have a debate whether it's division weekend or this weekend, but either way, excited to talk about all of it. And good to see you guys.
We do this. Good to see you. We do this Thursday morning. So college tonight, college tomorrow, doubleheader NFL Saturday, tripleheader Sunday. And then, as you say, Will, the strange, lurky Monday game after that. Best 5 days. If October is the best baseball, the best sports calendar month, just my opinion, with baseball playoffs, if the first 2 days of March Madness are awesome, the best 2 days, this is probably the best five I would go with. I'm not sure you can beat it. Unless, of course, you're talking about the first few rounds of Indian Wells. That's for the tennis hardos. Drew Dantzig joins us. Speaking of tennis hardos, Drew, you might have to space out this spot next week, Thursday, for an Australian Open draw, sir.
I love
Drew
it.
Drew Dantzig. Whale underscore Capper, co-host of the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor, and co-host of the NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast, which he does with Jay Croucher. Drewski, what's happening, man?
Oh, nothing much, Greg. Glad to be on with you guys. Appreciate the invite for Wild Card Weekend. You know, this is clearly the most optimal guest chair because you have six games to choose from. You know, we're going to learn a lot about these teams this year in the wild card round because, you know, this is the rare year where it is wide freaking open. Everybody's flawed. You know, there's really not any kind of certainty about how we're going to play out here, which makes this year especially fun.
It does. And let's just start with that real quick before we get into anything else. If I said right now, who's in the Super Bowl, Drew? Who's in the Super Bowl?
The Rams.
Rams.
And someone.
the consensus.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of back and forth on Jags, Pats. I think that, you know, we'll get to this in a bit, but those are the two teams I would have highest confidence are going to be playing each other in the divisional round. And I feel like the winner of that game probably goes. Jags at Price look good to me.
Willie?
Go Todd first. I don't know.
I don't know if Todd's alive. Todd, what are you?
I'm barely alive, and I will tell you that I would say something crazy. Packers Bills.
Mm-hmm. Packers Bills. Wow. All right, Will.
I did bet a Packers Chargers exacta at 185-1 just to have a little pizza money, just a little rooting interest, just because you've talked about this, Gil, in Major League Baseball postseasons where it's just so random that just go for the longest shots, but like life on the line. If I had to actually just, my best guess would be Rams and Jags. I don't.
You could take the Titans. They're available. The Titans are available.
Good point.
Yeah. When do the Skins play this week, by the way? When did that get scheduled? I have the two matchups. I have the Rams Chargers. I have the Niners Chargers, 28-1, 66-1, respectively. I'm all in on the Chargers. All in. Let's go.
Now, speaking of all in, are you going to feel bad? Let's say we're watching the Ole Miss game. Now, Willie just told us off air that he's got like 800 bets at 4,000 billion to one on Miami. And he becomes like basically richer than Qatar if Miami wins. And, but now we were watching the game and we, you know, in game, we like Ole Miss, right? So we have to bet Ole Miss. And of course, the coach of Miami is Cristobal also, you know, so we really like Ole Miss. And now we have to bet Ole Miss because we like the bet. And what are we going to do, right? So we bet Ole Miss, and now we have to root against poor Willie. That's a very rough situation. I wish I didn't know that he had all this money on Miami.
We have a group chat. For those who don't know, it's Chris Felica, it's Fezzik, it's me, Todd, and Will. And Felica went to Miami, and you'll notice that during Miami games, he becomes very silent. And Fezzik, who's a math genius and an actuary by trade, that's his strength. I would argue that one of his weaknesses is reading the fucking room. Right? And he has no idea that he's antagonizing both Chris and Will the entire time, coming up with all these scores that have Miami getting beat. It's it's a little bit of a tough 3 hours for us. We'll get through it. Looking forward.
What did he say? 31-6 Ohio State. And then when Ohio State falls behind, he goes, what do you think the line will be next week? Ohio State and Georgia. Miami's going to choke. That's what Miami does. It was a myriad of predictions.
I do feel that you should be allowed to root your own bet, regardless of your friend's bet in general in gambling. And I think your friends, and Will understands that. But I'm saying a lot of people are not, you know, they're idiots. So they think if you made a bet against their bet, you know, they get all bent out of shape.
Felica gets in his feels because he's all his friends on the coaching staff. You know how that goes. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little more. Okay. Todd, read the final records. I hate this. This was my worst year ever. It finished horribly.
Gilly had a very poor year. Yeah. Let's not forget, he did go 35-18 just 2 years short years ago, the last time he ever won the Megapod Championship and probably will never win again. He went 22-32. Teasers, he was 5-13. So not a very solid year. Willie, very strong 2-1 last week to go to 18-34-2. He destroyed his brand of 1-2 and went 8-10 in teasers. I went 2-1 to go 27-24-3. Won my teaser to go 9-9. And now I'm being told I only won a divisional championship. And as I said before, that's fine with me. The guest chair went 31-21-2, an outstanding year for the guests.
And
the teasers went 10-8, also pretty good. So the guest chair, Drew Dinsick, I believe, was part of those guests. I wonder how he did. We could go back and check, but he probably added to that 31-21-2. So hopefully, you know, he deserves 1/18th of a championship.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing it up because Megapod historian, celebration of the 15th year of the Megapod, Tim Lawson has put together a little Drewski synopsis here. He says this is Drew's 12th appearance on the Megapod and his 6th in the postseason. His postseason debut came the same year as his regular season debut in 2020. Drew is the longest running postseason guest, making his 6th consecutive appearance today. Only Drew and Rufus have 6 seasons of regular and postseason appearances, the most of all guests in 15 seasons. They're kind of like the Christian McCaffrey of this thing. the deep dive co-host looks to add to a successful Megapod run. He did go 1-2 earlier this season.
I did.
But making him 12-6 overall in his regular season appearances, his postseason record is 5-6-1 to date, making his overall NFL Megapod record 17-12-1. Question from the Megapod historian. In every playoff episode he's done, Drew comments on how difficult the slate is. Does he change his bet sizing in the playoffs with the tougher boards?
In a normal year, yeah. But I love the board this week. So no. Yeah, this year, no. And also most years, I'm usually like my futures portfolio is loaded with like green. And so I'm a little bit less inclined to just add stakes to teams that I already have strong positions on. I didn't have much this year futures portfolio wise because the prices never really like showed obvious value to me. So I'm really just sitting on Rams. And other than that, I need to be active if I'm going to make money this playoffs. Quick comment on the 1-2. What flips me from a winning week to a losing week? The Eagles blocked field goal returned by blocked field goal returned by Jordan Davis against the Rams. I had the Rams in the points and didn't get there.
Yeah.
We'd love to feel bad for you, Drew. However, there was a man named DeMarcado that you might have heard of who did more damage to our posteriors than has ever been done before.
That was bad.
But we could argue that those two results are two of the most memorable results of any games this season. And they were just random games, right? I mean, you know, just brutal from a result and betting standpoint, of course, survivor standpoint for some of us with the Cardinals. All right, Todd, do you have any, Dumbo of the Week? There was no coach that was a real Dumbo of the Week. So I have a player and then I have the refs. The player is, this is your boy, Will, Max Brosmer. Do you see this one play in the Vikings game? This just kind of represents that game, but it also represents Brosmer. It was 13-0 Vikings, and they had first and goal at the Green Bay 5. And then Brosmer thought he was down by contact, and he nonchalantly just gets up in the middle of the play and stands there with the ball, and they knock it out of his hands. That was Dumbo of the Week, player-wise. And then the official's Dumbo of the Week was that entire crew on that Bucks-Panthers game. I am not a my comment after this game was, this gives all that rigged crowd all the fuel they need, right? They're like, it's rigged. But that game, there's only one other game this year that was weird. Like the Miami Jets Monday night game where like every call went against the Jets and for the Dolphins. This one was, I mean, the incomplete pass that was then changed to a backwards pass that supposedly went out of bounds when it didn't go out of bounds and the Panthers stopped playing, but then they were told, you lost 7 yards. That play, the OPI that was called on Tetero McMillan when he was hand fighting, where the big gain was negated. Kate Otten's legs got tripped up with a cart with a Carolina defender, Nick Scott. They called PI on that to help Tampa Bay along. And then there was one more. Servatier Dennis ripped off the helmet of Panthers tight end Tommy Tremble. Should have been unsportsmanlike conduct. No call whatsoever. So anyway, they're that officiating crew gets Dumbo of the Week, I think, because there was no coach that I could think of in week 18 that did, unless I'm forgetting somebody. Todd, in game, anything?
Just a quickie I would talk about is I had Seattle Seahawks money line, Bengals money line parlay. So I'm coming into Sunday with just the Bengals needing to win. And I'm laying like, because the thing spun on me. So I was laying like minus 170. I meant to do minus 130. But anyways, so I'm coming in with Bengals second leg, minus 170. At the end, the Bengals go ahead by 2. And now I look at Willie, I call it what's called a Willie special. When you look at the odds at the last minute of the game, and you see that the Browns are now plus 250 to win the game. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, I got the Bengals defense has to stop the Browns. We play the new rules where Browns might get the ball in the 35 anyways, you know, after the return. Why not just take plus 250, at least win back the money that you might lose on the Bengals? But so I did that and it came through with, and I think Willie has really done a great job of showing us, at least on the list, you know, on our little text thing, how these lines late in the game are just wildly off sometimes because it's just too easy to get a field goal at the end. So hats off to Willie on that. And that saved my bet in that case. So that was great.
Yeah.
Let's review the signature Will Hill bets once again. Late game basketball or football bets, right? Not available in every book. Some books have already shut that down, but available at some. First 5 plus a half runs. Those are
That's
his.
A Willie special. It's called a Willie special in baseball when you go plus 5. First 5 plus a half.
And what else am I forgetting? Oh, ties in a quarter. Is that a Willie special?
Third quarter ties. He's the master.
It's a Willie special.
I got two nominees for you for Dumbo of the Week among coaches.
Oh, please. Yes.
Hate to kick a guy when he's down, but Jonathan Gannon saving the fake punt for a meaningless week 18 game. Well, that's a great play. What were we saving it for, guys?
He saved it for the second. He saved it to do it a second time right after.
All right, that was crazy. Yeah, I was like, yeah, it just came to him like a bulb on Christmas. Like, you know what I should do? Like, let's do something exotic. Anyway,
last chance to ever use it. He's never going to be a head coach.
I guess
again.
That's a good point. That's a fair point.
Did your coach get fired, and then more videos come up afterwards where you're like, how was this guy a coach ever? Like, crazy.
Yeah. Here's a tough one. Here's a tougher one to explain. Matt LaFleur runs the ball with 22 seconds remaining on third and goal.
Oh, yeah.
Lets the time tick down to 1 second, takes a timeout, and brings out the field goal unit to make it 16-3.
To cover the spread, too, right?
The spread, yes.
That was really, really, really bad.
My eyes crossed when I saw that all happening. I was like, oh, this will be fun and interesting. They're gonna obviously go for the touchdown and the 2-point conversion and then a squib, you know, the onside kick. Like, you know, they're gonna try, but no, they were determined to lose by 13 points.
16-0. Let it go down
not
to 13
and a half, but 13. Yeah.
I gave out Packers to get shut out.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you think that's him thinking of his Green Bay Packer fans, thinking, okay, the Green Bay Packer fans want to cover the spread, so why don't I cover the spread for them? Or do you think it's something more nefarious, or what do you think?
No, I think there's like a weird mentality of we don't want to get shut out or something. But, you know, it's like not that matters. Like, you just don't want to be in the record books of having been shut out, I guess. But I don't know. I genuinely
don't think it had anything to do with the spread. I really don't. Or a college game, I would think differently.
I agree.
Him, I just was like, I don't want to get shut out. So I don't want anyone to get hurt. On week 18, we got a playoff game next week.
Yeah.
Here you go.
The owners of the Packers are the people who are betting plus 13.5. So
betting the Packers plus 13.5? Like right at post though. Like,
yeah.
Probably not. But it was a very vexing decision.
Yeah, it really was.
Thank you, Drew. Thank God you're here so that you get to clean up on the Dumbo of the week, because I forgot about both of those. Very true. That was very strange by LaFleur, that's for sure. I don't know if it was Dumbo, but it was strange. Okay, best bets. Todd, what do the Megapod bylaws say that in Wildcard Weekend we pick two best bets?
I think we just do two. That's what we used to do. Yeah.
Man.
Well, I can go three if you want us to. I can go
three.
Too. Drew sounds like he can go three,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I have three ready.
It's not like we count the records or anything, so you could do whatever you really... We can change these. According to the bylaws, they can be changed per week.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's do three. Let's act like we're doing a normal show. Next week, we'll go to two when there's only four games.
Because I only picked two, but I'll pick another one.
Drewski, you got the first one.
Okay. I'm going to get this one out of the way early. Apologies to Gil.
It's coming.
Patriots -3.5 is a bet. The Patriots are getting a lot of attention paid now to their schedule. The chorus is deafening about how easy the Patriots schedule has been this year. But what is kind of lost in that discussion is that they have gotten better as the year has gone on, despite the soft schedule, and that there's really nobody who has proven anything against anyone this year, because no one is good. And I think that the key matchups in this one all tip New England for me. The Chargers defense is relatively predictable in terms of how often they run quarters. New England's pass efficiency this year against quarters was excellent. I think in general, the fact that you have a young mobile quarterback in Drake May up against a team that gives up gobs of yards on the ground to the opposing quarterback sets up for an awesome advantage for McDaniels and company as they're crafting a game plan here. I think you're going to see a lot of utility of Drake May's legs in this one. Most of their success this season has come through, you know, the home run plays, the deep bombs down the field. Those are not going to work against this Chargers squad at all. It's going to be much more, you have to be disciplined. You have to matriculate. You got to cross the street 50 times to get to, you know, the end zone. But I think with that task assignment and with the Patriots team offense in particular that's coming in, you know, with a pretty balanced attack and a solid running game, I think they're going to be able to do that. And then on the other side of the ball, Patriots defense getting a lot of attention for how bad they've been against the run, particularly down the stretch. Milton Williams will be back. I don't think you're going to see as soft of a Patriots defense in this contest as what we've seen from them in the month of December. And in general, I think the Chargers running an offense without an offensive line is going to become a problem, considering they're on the road in a hostile environment in a primetime game. This looks like once the Patriots have a 10-0 lead, pass rushers pin their ears back. I don't know that Justin Herbert surely finishes this game. I would take the Patriots at as high as -6.5 here if you're looking to dodge some juice.
All right, let's go. I'll jump in because it's point counterpoint. Drew, I would love to tell you that you're in a bad position being opposite of me this year, but you're not. Let's just start there. You're in a good position being opposite of me. But this is the first play I made this week. Chargers +3.5 for me. My comment earlier in the week was that, first of all, this is the game I'm most looking forward to because it is the Patriots schedule narrative. By the way, Cleve TA had that great graph that he put out this week. Patriots have faced the most, by percentage of snaps, the most backup quarterback snaps and EPA 30th and worse ranked quarterbacks. 61% of opposing snaps this year against that. They're not going to get that in Justin Herbert, that's for sure. But I feel like in Justin Herbert, he's the second best quarterback in the AFC. If I give you Josh Allen, I'll take Justin Herbert second. I feel like they have the third best defense. I think the biggest underrated part about the Chargers is that defense. Super disciplined, probably the third best defense in the AFC playoffs. Drake May applies to this is a very Dr. Bob stat here. 7-20-1 rookie quarterbacks in their first playoff game against quarterbacks who have played in the playoffs already. Rookie quarterbacks 7-20-1 against the spread. Lifetime there. I'm not really a trends guy, but because I'm making an argument, I'll put that in there. But also it's Drake May's strength, and you sort of alluded to this. Drake May's strength is Stephon Diggs over the middle. Tarheeb Still is there to counter that. Next, he goes to Hunter Henry, Derwin James. The Chargers are really good at stopping tight ends. And I think the Patriots, the Chargers' weakness could be that offensive line, but the Patriots' strength is not their defensive line. And so I don't think the Chargers get dinged as much as they would in another matchup. So for all those reasons, I am on the Chargers +3.5, mano a mano against Drew on that one.
Is Drake May a rookie?
He is. Is he still a rookie? Yes. Oh no, he's not a rookie. I'm sorry.
Debutant. Yeah, he's a debutant. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the debutants in the wild card round get mowed generally. But what's beautiful is that I think the Patriots can do this on the ground. They're not really going to have to ask Drake May to do very much, I don't think.
Okay.
Good news for Drew. I'm on the Chargers too, Gilly. I don't know if you want me to jump in.
Drew's winning this now.
Yeah, Drew. Chargers. Yeah. Somebody can just dial up Harbaugh now. They don't even need to make the trip. Just get ready for training camp. I'll throw in some more stats. Stucky, the Action Network had this one. I've talked about this before with the Patriots. The Patriots in their games this year, 34 possible fumbles. They've recovered 21 of them. Fourth downs, the Patriots 18 of 25. Their opponents 10 of 30. And you mentioned all the things about the schedule. And I'll just look at the Chargers. I know that offensive line is probably going to get them at some point. It's a mess. They're just a leak, a sieve in terms of allowing pressure. But you still got an elite quarterback, an elite coach, and a pretty damn good defense. And you're getting north of a field goal here in a game where there could be some snow. And I don't think the Chargers, you know, typically an LA team playing in snow would worry me. But Chargers, kind of a smash mouth team anyway. So I'll take the field goal and a half here with LA.
I want to just add this last note to this game because I know it'll set Todd off because I know how much he loves this kind of stuff. I want to quantify the Patriots schedule. How easy was the Patriots schedule, Todd Wishnev, you ask me? Well, according to Aaron Schatz and the easy schedules of DVOA since the
Boston Braves of 1954.
Not quite, since 1978, close. They have the third easiest schedule in history since 1978. That's what they got through this year. All right. Just want to put that out. Just one more little data point.
Todd, are you going to make this 2-2? You're wearing the Drake May jersey.
Yeah.
I didn't have them as one of my picks. But
he does that because it jinxed me this year.
No, one of our listeners sent me, he said, if I send you a Drake May jersey, will you wear it to troll Gilly for the fact that Drake May is going to be a better quarterback than Daniels? And I said, no problem. Yeah. Anyways.
You're such a pushover. You're like, sure, anything to troll Gilly. Let's do it. What's your first thought?
I mean, I troll Gilly for no cost at all, you know. So if you're going to throw in a jersey, why not? So Wyatt just texted me, Braves were in Milwaukee in 1954.
Yeah, I was going to say the Boston Braves existed in 1932.
I was trying to come up with one of those NFL teams, you know.
Not if you're going to make jokes, be historically accurate.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That's why I'm only a division winner, not a champ. Anyways,
don't know.
My first pick is going to be the Rams. Mm-hmm. The Rams are -10.5. And is that right? Rams are -10.5?
Yeah, correct.
Consensus 10.5. Yep.
Okay. I mean, how many times have we seen this before? Where, you know, I know the Rams lost to the Panthers earlier in the year, but come on. There was a pick six during the game. It's not like the Rams, you know, just got, it wasn't really an even game. You know, the Rams should have won that game, in my opinion. Granted, maybe not by 10.5, but I mean, we've seen this play out before where like one of these crapola teams and gets fed into the wood chipper. Very often it happens the second week that rather than the first week, but now that we have the playoffs the way they are and the 2 plays the 7, the 3 plays the 6, the 4 plays the 5, I would argue now that you could have more wood chipping, you know, where you have a real top team going against a real Khazarai team in the Panthers. And everyone knows what Khazarai is, obviously. It's Italian for, you know, bad. Anyways, the point is that the Rams, the Panthers aren't, come on, they're not a real team. Let's be realistic now. The Rams, I feel like they're going to be on their best behavior now. They lost to this team already. They're not going to be messing around. Stafford's not going to have one of these crapola games he's been having lately. They're going to be like, look, we're just going to hand the ball to Kyron Williams. We're going to play action to Puka. And this game's going to be 31-17, 31-13, something ridiculous, and get the hell out of Dodge. So give me the Rams -10.5, the wood chipper theory.
The Rams and the Panthers, the first of the playoff games, the first game on Saturday, and the Chargers game, which we talked about before, the third of the three games on Sunday. Listen, would I be surprised? Would I be surprised if the Rams blow them out? I wouldn't be, but I cannot bring myself to follow suit and lay those kind of boys. The Panthers are the most frustrating team there ever is. Just when you think they stink, they'll become the greatest team ever, and vice versa. But that's your play.
It's almost certainly the best unit of any unit in the Rams offense against the worst unit of any unit in the Panthers defense, right?
Yeah, and I went back and watched and looked at some of that Rams-Panthers game. Not only, Todd, interception for touchdown, an interception in the red zone by Stafford. I believe two of the touchdowns for Carolina came on fourth down, kind of broken plays. Where not only they converted, but they got long touchdowns. So I'm with Todd. I'm not going to use this one of my plays, but I'm with Todd.
Yeah, game winner was a 4th and 2, I think like a 40-something yard touchdown to McMillan.
It was like a pass over the middle. He caught it like the 25 he ran in.
And you're right, the two picks from Stafford, remember, he threw one touchdown pass, which set the record, 28 touchdown passes in a row without a pick, and then two consecutive drives right after that, 3rd and goal or 3rd and 6 at the 8, something like that, he throws a pick in the end zone, which broke the streak, and the next time they had the ball was the pick 6 to Mike Jackson, right? Not Michael Jackson, Mike Jackson, he goes by. So yeah,
so I think the Rams should have won
if it was Michael Jackson. Yeah.
It would have. Willie, what's yours? What's your first?
No, I did Chargers my first. Do you want me to snake? Do you want me to go too?
Okay, then it's, is it my turn? Yeah, my turn again. Because we're snaking. My turn, or we go back to Drew? What are the
it's
wild card?
It's your turn, for goddamn sake. Just go.
Oh, not so sick anymore, I see.
I'm sick. That's why I'm asking you to go.
Okay. Jesus.
That sounds great.
I'm going with the Jaguars. I was most surprised. I think I'm among many, right? I was not alone in this. As soon as these lines came out, I guessed Jaguars would be a point and a half favorite. I said 0.5, I believe. I was stunned, not stunned because it's not that crazy, but still I was surprised that the Bills were a favorite. This has bounced around. The Bills are back to being a favorite currently at this moment. I don't think there's a justification for this. Josh Allen, awesome. Okay. But I feel like this is a historical line based on just brands from before this season. The Jaguars closed the season with 8 straight wins. They're also up there. By the way, the Patriots, who had the most snaps against bad quarterbacks. Jaguars were 2nd, according to that Cleve TA thing, so I am aware of that. But I feel like this is the Jags moment. Liam Cohen has transformed Trevor Lawrence. I don't feel like the Bills have much of a case here to be favored. I'm taking the Jags plus the one. What is it right now? Consensus. What do you see? One plus one.
One.
Plus one. I'm on. I really do have a bet on the Jags money line, not plus one, but for our purposes here, I'll take the plus one.
It's a juicy one.
It's a juicy one. That's correct.
Yeah. Do you want me to jump in? I'm on Jags also for my second.
Okay.
We ride. I don't know, man. The last two games that Josh Allen finished, he got an X-ray on his foot. They don't usually do that just for shits and giggles. They usually do that because he's in pain. When you look at the tape of those two games, he was very clearly impacted in terms of his mobility and his scrambling ability. And now he goes up against a defense that I think is just flat out good. No one wants to admit it. You looked at the defensive numbers for the Jags last year, and I can understand why anyone who kind of bet football last year would be like, there's no way that these guys are just good now. But I think it was pretty clear last year was an effort thing. And once they were kind of out of the mix, that there just was not a lot of try hard out of that unit. And now what Campanile is doing in terms of X's and O's for that defense is just flat out excellent. They're able to generate pressure and really confuse quarterbacks. It's very Mike McDonald-esque in terms of what he's doing. Love seeing it. I think Josh Allen is going to have a very, very tough time exercising an advantage in the air here, considering he doesn't have much of anything going on right now with weapons in the passing game. Everybody on the Buffalo Bills is hurt, including Josh Allen, I think. And this is going to come down to, can the Jacksonville Jaguars pin Cook up and keep him from being a game-breaking, game-changing factor? And I think they can. Their rush defense has been very solid over the last half of the season. Some of that's schedule-based, but some of that is just because they've been playing better. And then on the flip side, it looks like Trevor Lawrence finally understands exactly what Liam Cohen wants him to do, and he's doing it at an extremely high level. Buffalo Bills defense is very, very gettable, both through the air, but especially on the ground. I don't think the Jags are going to have any trouble here staying on schedule and just in general putting up somewhere in the ballpark of 30 points here. A game state where the Jags are up multiple scores is going to be a fun one to live bet. I think there's going to be a lot of support to the death for the Buffalo Bills, but this is not their year.
Did you have the same reaction I did to the lines on these games, that this was the one that surprised you?
I was pretty surprised this wasn't Jags like minus 2.5-ish, and the fact that it is still kind of hanging in the Buffalo minus one range. I think people are rightfully conditioned. I say people, like the sharp players who are shaping this market are rightfully conditioned to, you know, to put a premium on experience. And Allen's clearly got it. Trevor Lawrence's playoff performances have been pretty unimpressive. And, you know, I think maybe there's some reason to doubt him for that. But boy, does it feel like he's going to do whatever he wants. This is another game where I think you're going to have a lot of quarterback rushing opportunities for Jacksonville, because Buffalo's defense is horrifically bad at stopping the quarterback running.
Willie, number two.
I'm going to go under 44.5 Eagles 49ers. To me, the Eagles just profile perfectly as an under team. Really good defensively. I think it helps the fact that they're home. Raucous crowd, maybe some wind. It will be a factor here. No Trent Williams and no Ricky Pearsall at practice last we saw. I don't know if we've gotten a Thursday report, but that was the report as of Wednesday, and those guys matter, especially Trent Williams against that Eagles front. I've always been a Purdy fan, a Purdy defender, but he has struggled at times when the weather's not perfect. You know, he can struggle. He's not the biggest guy, doesn't have the biggest arm, hands, all that stuff. We've seen him struggle in rain and in shaky weather. And I just think Philly on offense, I mentioned that perfect under team, no explosive plays. They're almost like an Army or Navy where it's just 3-4 yards. They grind out these drives. They don't hit for big plays. So to me, something like a 24-17 type of game, maybe 23-20 if it's a little closer. I know the unders come down a little bit, but I still think there's some meat on the bone under 44.5.
Under 44.5. The Jags game, by the way, is the first of the three on Sunday. The Niners are the middle child game on Sunday. Maybe we'll hit on all these by the time we get through our picks. Todd?
I'm going to go with the Don there in the Yenzer land, even though they're all sick down here. Everybody's got the flu and that. I still think the parking charges by themselves could be a factor. And, you know, if you're asking a Texans bus to come in here and pay $100 to park, that could affect things. So I just think you're taking the Pittsburgh Steelers plus +3, raucous crowd. It's a crowd, that's C-R-A-H-D, crowd. You got a raucous crowd. You're going to have the Houston Texans coming in with Mark, with Strad. I don't know about that Strad guy. Come on now. Are the Texans really good enough now to come in and beat? Look, I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he should be wearing the black and gold and that. It feels wrong. He should be in the green and gold. But look, he's still Aaron Rodgers. We still got Kenneth Gainwell. 3 points in a real big ball game. You know there's going to be a lot of Yinzers down there screaming their heads off. You're asking the Texans now to go into a very hostile situation now that we know they got a great D, but their offense is not what I would say playoff caliber. Caliber. It's not playoff caliber. So to me, I'm thinking 3 points is a lot. It's a lot to ask a road team to come down here and just say, hey, we're here. We're going to kick the Steelers' ass. It, who knows what the weather's going to be? You know, I just think it's too many points to go down there on the road and just think you're just going to have no problems in that. I think there's going to be a problem. It could be 19-17. It could be 16-14. Could be a very tight ball game, and that's what I think we're looking at here. 3 points could come into play. A lot of people just say, hey, just pick the winner and don't even worry about the point spread and that. I think these 3 points could come into play. Give me the Steelers plus +3.
There's a couple things there. One, I thought you nodded off at one point in the middle of your talk.
It's hard to do Yinzer talk when you're sick.
And then two, I thought you were going to go through every possible combination of scores that were going to get you the cover. 19, 17, 20, 18, 21, 19
could do it. You know, possibly 14, 13 could make it.
That could work too.
Yeah. 16, 14.
Okay. Yeah, we got the idea. Drew, third one.
I'm going head to head with Todd here. Yes. I will lay the Texans minus -3.
By the way, the stenographer guy has said that when you have gone against me, I believe it's on two different occasions, you have lost. But go ahead.
Okay. Wow. So you're telling me I'm due. Yeah. I like that. You're due. I'm due. I don't want to call it a mirage, but like the perception of Aaron Rodgers and his quality of play is contingent upon whether he's under pressure.
Bang. I know he stinks. One second. I know he stinks, Drew.
No, big. He was electric against. Yeah, that fourth quarter against the Baltimore Ravens, he was throwing darts. He was throwing dots.
Oh, you mean in the WWE game we watched on Sunday night?
Yeah. And the Ravens, no ability to generate pressure. The Texans can do it just sending 4, which leaves them a lot of pieces in the back end to cover. And I think they're going to have a very, very successful day defensively against a pretty vanilla offense with
a huge, ever heard of a guy Achilles named Gainwell? His name is Gainwell, not Gain Bad, Gainwell.
He's an X factor, I'll show you. You know, the linebacking core for the Texans is outstanding in coverage. Lassiter looks like he's going to be good to go. He's back at practice today. Stingley can absolutely erase DK Metcalf. I don't see the Pittsburgh Steelers scoring touchdowns in this one. I don't see that. I think they're going to struggle to get to double digits. And then on the flip side, if you thought Zay Flowers had no problem getting open against that Steelers secondary, good luck covering Nico Collins. I know that ultimately if the pass rush is in CJ Stroud's face early and often in this one, then it could be messy. It could be sloppy. I could be sweating an 11-9 type of outcome, which would cover for you. But I think ultimately there's enough weapons to get involved with the Texans here, even though they may not be ultimately a great team. I feel like 15, this is
13. You ever heard of 15, 13?
15, 13 gets you there. But if you're telling me that the Texans get to 15 points, I'm still not really shaking in my boots.
Wow.
Yeah.
I kind of like Drew's third one better than my third one now. I was screaming that like the whole time. I'm like, if you can get any pressure on Aaron Rodgers, like it's a
throwing it in the dirt.
If you don't pressure him, he becomes Aaron Rodgers again, which he did on Sunday night. And Houston is just, yeah.
They got the horses, yeah.
Yeah, don't even have to blitz.
But what about the parking?
God, your last one.
That's a great point.
Yeah, it's a good point again.
Nobody ever, people forget about the parking. It's very expensive down at the casino. Better get a black card. Okay, my third pick will be, wow, I guess I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to take Green Bay minus one. I just think that Johnson has been amazing for Caleb. I came in this season as a Caleb hater. Just shows you what great coaching can do for a quarterback. I believe that Johnson tried to accentuate Caleb's positives and, you know, get rid of a lot of his negatives. And I think he did a great job at that. They were also very lucky. They were also, you know, they got themselves a little bit of a running game there late with Manungai and the other guy, Swift. But I just think that a lot of times when these teams have these big come-ups, you know, and they start, now they're in contender, right? It's like they go from like nobody thought the Bears were going to be any good to now the Bears were good enough to make the playoffs. Usually when they get to like that next level of opponent, we're now, okay, now it's for reals. Now we're playing playoff football against a real team, Green Bay Packers. Sometimes they fall back a little, you know, and then maybe the next year they come again, you know, a little bit further. Look, if the Bears lose this game, it's still going to be a fantastic season for the Bears. I don't think any of us thought preseason the Bears were going to make the playoffs. I certainly didn't. I think they played, you know, over their heads. A lot of things went their way as well. But all that streak, just where they covered every single week, week after week after week after week, finally you hit a snag. It's kind of like in college basketball. If you win 60% or 62% for 800 bets, sooner or later something bad is going to happen. You just can't just keep doing it forever. It's the same thing in football. You just can't keep covering spreads forever. You know, so I just feel like They've done a great job. Let's tip our hat to them. But now we're playing with the big boys, and I'm going to take the Packers minus the one because they've been there before.
I'm going to jump in just because I'm oppo you here. I'm going to take the Bears my third. Only on a hunch, really. I mean, honestly, everything you're saying is right. Plus 22 turnover differential for the Bears this year.
That's slightly lucky, is it not?
Slightly lucky, yes. They only gave the ball away 11 times. They took it away 33 times this year, 23 on interception, 10 by fumble recovery, plus 22. The record once again, the 1983 Washington Redskins, plus 43, never to be broken. But yeah, plus 22
is just showed they weren't that good. They were lucky. Rod Washington.
It sounds like they got an identity to me. I don't know. Yeah.
So for me, I think everything you're saying, Todd, is correct, but it applies to next week. I don't think it applies.
Okay.
I think here with the Packers, I do think the rust versus resting. Like I always have it in my head that if you sit your guys week 18, it's not that easy to turn it back on. Bears played it through. Packers didn't. I just feel like, and Cam, by the way, another one, the Bears won six games this year from behind in the last 2 minutes, almost the seventh time against the Niners. Both of these games against the Packers came down to the final sequence. The second one, which was just butt lucky when the Bears recovered an onside kick and then won in overtime after Malik Willis fumbled. The first one, though, the Bears were matriculating the ball down the field, had a chance to win it. And then Caleb did one of those Caleb things where he's like off his back foot to his left, throws it short in the end zone. Keyshawn Nixon picked it off to seal the win for the Packers. I just think it's the Bears. It's just on a hunch, but I think the magic carpet ride lasts one more week.
I'm Oppo, Gilly. You want me to jump in? Is this me? Yeah, I got the Packers. Oh, you mentioned it, plus 22 in turnovers. I mean, look at some of the games the Bears won. Down by double digits to the Giants with a couple minutes to go. Lucky to beat the Raiders. And like you said, these teams played twice. The Packers won by a touchdown, and the Packers led by 10 with a couple minutes to go in the other one and should have won that game. In a game where Love got hurt, DVOA, Packers 11th, Bears 16th. I think the Packers figure out a way to get it done. And plus the Dr. Bob stat that you mentioned applies here. Love has played in the playoffs. He's been in the playoffs, at least a couple starts, beat Dallas, then lost to San Francisco. Caleb Williams, this is his playoff debut. I think the Packers march on here.
That's the second of two on Saturday. I think we touched on every game at least once of the six.
Nobody took a side in Philly, San Fran. Otherwise, otherwise we're all over the board.
If we made you take a side in that game, which way would you go?
Philly. We're going to get to that one in a minute, right? We're coming up on game that you want nothing to do with.
That's right.
What's the setup?
Yeah, we can't do the second to last question, which is big favorite, most likely to lose outright, because there's only one big favorite.
And they're not going to lose,
Which is the game you want no part of? It's Philly and the Rams, right?
For me, for Philly and, Philly Niners. The reason I would say no part in that one is because that one to me is the most like game script dependent, like game state dependent, right? If the Eagles get off to a decent start and have a lead, good night, it's over. Like they can just absolutely put that thing away in no matter, in multitude of ways. If
they lose a 21-0 lead at halftime this year.
They did. That's a good point. But that was against the Dallas defense, which was worse than this one. that's a fair point. It's a fair point.
By the way, there was multiple times, actually. They should have lost that first game of the year if C.D. Lamb didn't drop the pass that they were way ahead in as well. So they haven't been like outstanding and just shutting things down. And they blew the game to the Broncos in the fourth quarter, didn't they?
Right. But to Drew's point, I think it's the age-old question, or at least of the Eagles, who are defending champions. Do you believe the Eagles can flip the switch and become that team again? Like, does Jalen Hurts, right? Like, Jalen Hurts, has he been playing possum all year and he's like, oh, now I'm going to run now that it's the playoffs, right? I'm going to use my legs. Or are they actually that team, I guess, right, from the whole year?
Oh, I'm not arguing with Drew's pick. I'm just stating that they have blown leads, that's all.
They have, I feel like, though, if you have a two score lead against this Niners defense and you have Barkley and Hurts, you can wipe the second half of this game completely off the map, right? Like it's over.
Because the Niners can't stop him, you're saying?
Because they can't stop him, right? Like you're talking like 8 minute, 16 play drives that end in a touchdown or field goal.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think they're going to, especially because they're at home, I think they can basically just wipe out huge chunks in the second half if they have a lead. And then on the other side, I don't know that I feel great about Philly in comeback mode against the Niners. If the Niners get the ball first, if they score, if they put some, put some pressure on that offense could fold up like a table. I wouldn't be surprised. They're not doing anything super interesting at all. And I don't know that they have been saving the good plays for the playoffs. So we'll see.
Yeah, I just hope the Niners, can actually play with their starting quarterback the whole time this time. That game, was it 2 years ago?
Three years ago.
Yeah, I was just such a... Of course, Eagles fans don't care, right? They won no matter what. But it's like, it was so not a fair fight in that game. Mm-hmm. Did Niners lose two quarterbacks in that game?
Yeah, Josh Johnson and Purdy.
Josh Johnson and Purdy. And who ended up playing again?
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey was direct snaps, yeah.
That's right. Jesus.
Are we doing teasers in this? Because I don't know whether we should or shouldn't.
Yeah, let's do a teaser. Is there a teaser? Yeah.
There's teasers you could do.
There's no advantage teaser. But
there's no advantage. There's no you Walker. Can tease. Yeah. If you had to do a tease, what would you do here, Drew?
Teasing the Rams down to 3.5, I guess. Maybe find a shop where it's 10, tease them to 3. Or no, that could get there. No. So teasing the Rams down to 4.5. So Rams down to 4.5, and I'm going to take the Bears out to 7. So the Saturday wild card round is a...
What's our official line for Jags Bills?
Rams Bears.
One. Bills?
Yeah.
You take the Jags up to 7.
For me, it's Bears Jags. Tease them both out.
That's mine too.
Todd?
Yeah, I'll take the Jags and
the Jags
and
Jesus, are you okay?
Give them a break. This is the first week. It was the first time we've ever done teasers on this podcast. So,
well, so. We didn't. We weren't set up
by surprise every time.
The fact that this guy can kick a guy when he's down. I've been coughing for fucking four days. Pardon my language. And this guy just jams Texas Roadhouse rolls in his eye hole all day long and doesn't get sick. Give me a break. Yeah. I guess I'll take Stillers plus nine.
16-14 gets you there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also 16-9 gets you there.
Five to three.
Where that one's going to land. Yeah.
Tell me some other scores.
I like
seeing the scores. You're with 21-19.5
17-13, you're home. 17-10. Easy. No sweat.
So wait, what did you guys have? You guys all went with Bears. And
I'm going to go Rams Bears for that one. Right. Just
you went Rams Bears, but they went Jags Bears.
Okay.
I'm probably going to end up having some Bears, but I need to see the injury report because so many guys that matter were 50-50 yesterday. Probably not going to bet the Bears till closer to post. I like over in the Rams Carolina game at 46.5. I think there's a world where the Rams get that by themselves.
Yeah, the Rams get into the 30s much more than people realize. The Rams get to 35 almost every game. It's ridiculous.
No.
Who's not realizing that, Todd? Everybody's realizing.
I think there's people out there. I've talked to some people down at the store today. I said, do you think the Rams get in the 30s? They're like, well, sometimes. I'm like, no, guys, they do it a lot.
Yeah, there's definitely merit in Will's under for Niners Eagles. That's too high. But you need... You kind of need make you need the Niners to either defer the coin toss or not score on that first drive.
If I say, can I interest you in a 3-leg 10-point super teaser? Rams down to basically having to beat the Packers, the Panthers at half a point. Bears and Jags up, both to 11.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Who beats you in that scenario?
You would have to make sure it wasn't ties. Ties lose. You have to check those 10-point teasers on the rules about the ties because some of them you lose on the ties.
Pretty much all of them, I think you lose on the tie.
Who beats you in that scenario? Which of the three?
Probably the Bears.
Bears.
Yeah. I don't see a world where the Bills blow out the Jags, but you could definitely sell me the Packers blow out the Bears because Caleb Williams is making his debut and he could throw you out of the game.
Yep. All right. We close with this because we did game you want no part of. We already know it's Philly, San Francisco on the side for everybody, I guess. Sounds like. Yes. Then the last question becomes, and I already just slipped out of my mind just on the ad lib here, which is the game, and maybe this is through the prism of your bet, but the game that you are most looking forward to see. We will close that it out with that. Drew?
It's Buffalo Jacksonville for sure. Buffalo Jacksonville's a good one. Cause like I have a suspicion that the Jags are a little bit of a sleeping giant.
And, see it for me.
I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see it too. That's my two. Same answer for me is Chargers Patriots because I feel that way about the Chargers the exact same way. So that for me is number one, but I'd go Bills Jags too. Willie?
A Saturday night football game in a playoff game in the snow just does it for me. I think back to like the Patriots Raiders. That's Saturday night snow game. It's not about a playoff game in the snow, and we might get that for Packers and Bears. So, because of a possible flurries or some snow accumulation, I will go with the Saturday night NFC North battle between Green Bay and Chicago.
Little worried it's not going to live up to the last one. That was like game of the year, right?
That was crazy. So, there were a lot of game of the year. Rams, Seahawks, and 49ers, Bears. There were a lot of games of the year.
In a year where you couldn't really
Steelers Ravens was absurd.
Yeah. Absurd. And that game. So many of those. Todd, one you're most looking forward to before we go?
I guess I'm looking to, I kind of want to see what the Stars are going to do down there.
Yeah. It's a big one. What is not the answer for anyone is Rams Carolina. I'd be surprised if anybody mentioned that.
And not many people realize they get to 35 a lot in that.
Can you tell us how you can win that Steelers bet? I'm really not sure if I understood that.
I just go over the top three ways. 10 to 9, 16 to 14. 17, 16 is a little known fact. That's only one.
Mm-hmm. I would ask people to rate, review, and subscribe, but after you heard Todd on this show, I'm not sure I want you to do that, to be quite honest with you. Man is sick, for God's sakes. So we apologize for that. Thank you to Drew Densick, again at whale_capper, Deep Dive Podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor. Friday is the Wine and Cheese podcast episode. Is that the one?
Yeah, Wine of the Week every Friday. Tune in.
Wine of the Week every Friday. Have you ever heard Drew riff on wine?
Yes.
Dude. This man knows.
If you guys have a special occasion in your life, you're looking for a bottle, message me. You know where to find me.
By the way, if you looked at a guy and you said, I need a guy to tell me about wine, and you didn't know anything about the guy, you just lined him up, right? And you said, oh, here's a Willie. Nah, he looks like a fatso from Connecticut. Look, here's Gilly. He doesn't know anything. Here's this big fatso from Pittsburgh. He doesn't know anything. You look at Drew and you say, that's a guy who knows about wine.
Knows about wine. More impressive, Drew knows about a lot of subjects. Maybe wine is at the top of the heap, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Above all, he knows a lot of things. Hopefully, Drew, hopefully, I don't want to hold you to it, but hopefully a week from today, we'll be talking Australian Open after draw for tennis's first slam. Cleve will be our Megapod guest, Cleve TA, next week for the divisional round. So we look forward to that. For Drew Densick, for Todd Wishnev, for Will Hill, Gil Alexander, thank you for listening. Good luck with all your bets in the wild card weekend of the National Football League. Thanks for listening.